P-S-E-W-G. Try to say that phonetically. We won't, but you will hear just what P-S-E-W-G is in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the soggy Mid-South studio of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the Rain Report for September 22nd. If you were to peruse a list of the myriad committees and associated groups affiliated with the ARRL, the National Organization of Amateur Radio, there's one of which you may not be familiar. It's PSEWG, otherwise known as the Public Service Enhancement Working Group. PSEWG was discussed during the ARRL Forum at the 2018 Dayton Hamvention. A driving force behind PSEWG is ARRL Great Lakes Division Director Dale Williams, WA8EFK. Dale was introduced by forum moderator ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR.
I wanted Dale to talk about his work with the Public Service Enhancement Working Group. Fits well with the theme of Dayton, which is emergency services, and so it's going to fit well with that theme, and we wanted y'all to hear about these very important things that this group is working with. Dale gets up here every year, and I'm not sure anybody's ever really said, well, what about Dale Williams? What is he really like? And so I asked him to put some notes together, and he's got a long list of things here. I didn't know you were so involved in things, Dale. He's been licensed since 1962, so he's an old hat. He's like me. He's been around a while. His primary interests are VHF and UHF, but he operates on 160 meters through 450 megs, including the digital modes. He retired after 30 years with Motorola, served as project manager. He was responsible for the implementation of various large-scale multi-site radio sites, mobile data systems, and 911 dispatch centers. And with regard to radio, he served as an assistant EC, EC, section EC, and two tours of duty as section manager, the first in the 1990s and the later from 2002 to 2011. From January of 2012 to July of 2014, he served as vice director for the Great Lakes Division, and then he moved on to become director. He served as chairman of the ARRL Emergency Communications Advisory Group. He currently is a member of the ARRL Executive Committee and the Ethics and Elections Committee, and is chair of the ARRL Public Service Enhancement Working Group. Dale is a member of the Monroe County Radio Communication Association and River Raisin Repeater Association. He also serves as chairman of the Dundee Village Planning Commission and holds positions on the Monroe County Emergency Planning Team, the Detroit Southeast Michigan Urban Area Security Initiative Communications Interoperability Committee, and Board of Directors of the Lake Erie Transportation Commission, and is chairman of the board for the Monroe County Library VBIS Trust System. So that's a lot, Dale. I don't know how you have time for the ARRL, but he does. He does a great job for us.
And I have a wife.
Wow. Being a director means that you are typically assigned to a couple of groups that play a very important role at headquarters. One of those is the Administration and Finance Committee, which is responsible for the administration and finances of the ARRL. The second one is Programs and Services Committee. And Programs and Services Committees are the ones that you indirectly have very close contact with because they are the ones that are responsible for the operation of the field organization. That includes, of course, all of the programs that we operate in the field. It was January of 2015 that the chairman of the Programs and Services Committee approached me and says, Dale, I got something that might be of interest to you. And that's a group that we're going to start out calling it the Public Service Enhancement Working Group. And I said, well, what is that? It's got a long name and an unpronounceable acronym. He says, what we want the group to do is take a look at all of the public service activities ARRL is involved with, analyze them, and see if they're headed in the right direction, see if changes need to be made, see if the program needs to be completely revamped or even dissolved. And I said, that sounds interesting. Maybe I can help you out with it. He says, good, you're chairman. we got started in this, and you know, it's a new group, and you go through the usual things of the three norms for a new group, and that's called storming, forming, and norming, where you get together and you start out as a group, and you argue for a little bit until you get to know each other, and then you get the group formed out and working well, and then you start to tackle the real problems, the real issues that you face. And we went through all of that, but we thought we'd start out with a couple of tasks that would be relatively simple for us to handle, kind of step back and not touch the two elephants in the room. And so we did some easy things. Then the next thing was to say, okay, we've done this. We've been relatively successful in tackling these problems. Let's take a look at the big guys. And the big guys are the ARES and the NTS. Which one should we tackle first? We're going to have to do that. The decision was made to take a look at the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, and it was done primarily because any changes that we potentially would bring about in the ARES might affect the national traffic system, its style of operation, the kind of traffic it handles, and the way it operates. So our approach was to go right ahead and tackle ARES. Who are we? Where are we, and where are we going as ARES people? So let's take a look at the ARES mission statement. And we did some research and found out that even though the ARES was formed in like 1935, there was nothing that was clearly identified as a mission statement for ARES. So based on that, we really couldn't identify what the group was, what its guidance was, where it was going to go. So we thought we would jump right in and create a mission statement. And we created a two-sentence mission statement we thought covered things very thoroughly, and began to work with a number of teams to analyze the mission statement, make sure we were on the right track. And we formed a group of reviewers to review everything that we were going to do regarding ARES. So a team of eight people who were going to independently examine our efforts and rule on them as to whether they were effective, whether they're headed in the right direction, whether we needed to make changes or upgrades. And that worked out very well for us. First thing they took a look at was the mission statement said it was too long. It was. We knew that going in, it was too long. But it really did what we wanted it to do. And we convinced them that that should be our mission statement. 2 weeks ago, one of our directors from the New England division, Tom Frenay, came up and says, you know what? He says, I think I found a mission statement for ARES. And we looked at it, and it seemed pretty reasonable. And it was in existence, and we didn't think that it really needed to be changes applied to it. It does the right job of explaining what ARES is about in one sentence. Criminy Dutch, we had 4 months of work in the previous one. We can't let it go away. And we kind of were researching mission statements and what they were for. And that same research said, well, if you have a mission statement, maybe you also need a vision statement. Ah, that works.
You're listening to some of the intricacies that have gone into the Public Service Enhancement Working Group, an ARRL committee that is endeavoring to standardize the national interworkings of the ARES, the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, and NTS, the National Traffic System. We'll conclude our excerpt from the 2018 Hamvention Talk by Dale Williams, WA8EFK, ARRL Director for the Great Lakes Division, in a moment. This is the RAIN Report. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
So we took our former mission statement and made it a vision statement. Two sentences, not too long, but they bring out 7 key points regarding ARES. The first is it's organized. The second, it will consist of trained people. Trained people who are qualified, trained people who are credentialed. And then, because of that, The ARES will have expertise, capability, and the capacity to serve our organization, to serve agencies that we deal with on a day-in, day-out basis. So, how is the ARES organized? Well, right now, ARES is organized under the guidance of an emergency coordinator, and he has assistants. And there isn't much more beyond that under the present structure that tells how that organization is to operate and how its guidance is to be placed. So in the future, if this plan is accepted, and that's the big if, like Rick mentioned, it has not yet been approved. What you're seeing is a preview of what we hope will be accepted by both Programs and Services Committee and the Board of Directors in July. We would like to organize the ARES along the lines of the National Incident Management System and the Incident Command System. Now, this means, in an emergency, the local EC is the guy that's in charge. He is not going to report to his district EC. His district EC is not going to walk in and say, I'm here to take over. That ain't going to happen. The EC is the guy that's in charge. So the DEC and the SEC are going to be resource people for the local EC. The local EC is a guy that knows the turf. He knows the land. He knows the people he's got to deal with on a day-in and day-out basis. He knows if he get 2 inches of rain that the Saline River at Bigelow Flats floods. And the guy from out of town doesn't know that. And so he could very well endanger people by not knowing that. The second thing is, and we've lived with this forever, is we really don't know how many members the ARES has. We don't know if it's 20,000 or 30,000 or 40,000 because we have a real serious reporting structure. Our ECs don't regularly do their paperwork. So we get a number of reports in, and the numbers look pretty good. The next month, the guy says, I don't have anything to report, so I'm not going to report at all. Does he fall off the map? Yeah, he kind of does in the reporting system. But there are a lot of groups around the country who have developed some effective reporting systems within their sections. And there's a number of them, matter of fact, that work for multiple sections. They've teamed up together with their reporting system. And we took a look at a great number of those. And my gosh, this is exactly the right way to go. And we had one group that offered to provide the service for us. They would team up and bring all of the sections in the nation into their system and let us do the reporting. The problem is, and we've probably all seen this, that we as ham operators sometimes have a tendency to dispute things and argue, and some pick up their toys and go home. And we didn't want that to happen with a national reporting system. So we drew up some specifications and went out to interview and talk with a number of potential providers commercially who could do this. We narrowed it down to a couple and then down to one that we found to be quite exceptional, had all of the information that we need. And one of the vital things that was part of the program was that while this system could operate routinely online, we insisted that each EC would have the ability to do a download of all of his information. So he could store his information on the national system, but he could also retain it on his laptop. In case the internet went down, he would have his complete supply records. So their record keeping and portability was going to be a major key. Trained. How many agencies do we have that require their people to be trained across the country? Red Cross, Salvation Army, your local emergency management organization, they all require their people to be trained. ARES does not. We require that you have a ham license and an interest to serve. Training will be required. This is the key part of the program. The ARRL course, which is EC001, and the ICS course is 100, 200, 700, and 800. Later, 300 and 400. And others as the local EC's organization may need because of special local conditions. So how do we manage this training? Who is going to be qualified? When do you determine it? Does everyone need it? And does leadership require more training? we concluded that it would be necessary to institute three levels of membership in ARES. The level one is the introductory level, where everybody that comes into the organization passes through level one until they have achieved these required training programs. Then you move on to level two. And level two would kind of be the normal level. Everybody that's completed a training program would be in level two. Those people who will hold leadership positions like EC, SEC, AEC, DEC, and their assistants would also be required to complete IS 300 and 400. And the reason for that is most emergency operating centers require 300 and 400 before you can even be admitted to those centers. So that's the idea of the program. Now, the conditions of these are basically the way we have the plan worked out at the moment. You can enter at level one and stay there forever if you have no desire to be a leader in the organization. If you have no opportunity to complete all of the training, you're not forced to do it. You will still be a member of ARES, but you'll stay at level one. If you want to advance, if you choose to do that, then you complete the training and you become level two. If you're going to be an EC, that's where you go into level three. Our target would be to have everybody in level one complete their training in a year's time. It's probably not going to happen. But that would be a target for everybody to set within their organization. If it doesn't happen, you're still okay to stay at level one.
And that concludes some of the nuts and bolts that comprise the Public Service Enhancement Working Group, an ARRL subcommittee endeavoring to standardize the inner workings of the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, ARES, and the National Traffic System, NTS. The speaker was Dale Williams, WA8EFK, ARRL Great Lakes Division Director. Now that you still don't know how to pronounce PSEWG, I'll give it a try. Let's see. PSEWIG? Please, Wig. There's a couple I don't think want to even try to put out over the air. Oh, well, if you come up with a better pronunciation, let us know and you can make a mockery of yourself. Just keep on smiling. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights are reserved. This hamcast updates Saturday morning on therainreport.com and Saturday evenings around 9 on WTWW shortwave from Lebanon, Tennessee on 5085 kHz. If you run into Ted Randall at WTWW, please ask him to contact Rain founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 for this round of the Rain Report. Keep on hamming.